As expected, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. The ruling this past week returns pretty much all things to do with abortion policy back to the states. Now, while attorneys can react to the here and now regarding the mechanics of this decision, my next guest is with us, I think, with a more, call it long-range view of what lies ahead. He does this through knowledge of how similar attitude and policies about abortion played out in other countries. He is the Assistant Director of Health Programs with the O'Neill Institute for National and Global Health Law at Georgetown University Law Center. Andres Constantine, how are you today, sir?
Doing well. Thank you, Chris.
And learn more about the O'Neill Institute for National Global Health Law. It's o'neill.law.georgetown.edu. And yes, we do have that linked over at our homepage. Just for some quick background for the listener, it was a 5-4 vote on Friday. Now, having this in place has started the clock, Andres, because 13 states with what are called trigger bans were designed to take effect as soon as Roe is overturned, which it now has been. So they will ban abortion within 30 days. Those states are Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Texas, North and South Dakota, Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho. Additionally, we have 5 states without trigger laws, Alabama, Georgia, Iowa, Ohio, and South Carolina. Courts have blocked or struck down recent laws that ban most or all abortions without Roe now. Those laws will probably take effect within possibly weeks, if not months. So when you look at the legal landscape that's been created through the legal decision by the Supreme Court for women in America, what's the significance? What is foretold for the female population regarding all this?
Thank you, Chris. As you said, the first thing that we will start to see is that abortion trigger laws will soon take effect. As you said, there are 13 states that have adopted this type of laws already. In Texas, for instance, the abortion trigger law will take effect in 30 days, making it a felony to perform an abortion at any stage of gestation unless necessary to save the pregnant person's life or to prevent a severe physical impairment of her body. With regards to the decision itself, there are some things that are particularly concerning. The Supreme Court's decision gives the authority to states to regulate abortion. This will most likely lead to an heterogeneous application of the law. In essence, this means that depending on where you're born or where you live, you may have a right that you wouldn't have if you reside in another state or vice versa. This will lead, of course, to legal inequalities, more divisiveness, and in some cases to abortion, interstate travel, or what is colloquially known as medical tourism. Justice Kavanaugh, in his concurring opinion, he touches on the issue of interstate travel, and he asks the question of whether a state can bar or retroactively impose liability on a resident of that state for obtaining an abortion in another state. For Kavanaugh, the answer is a clear no from a constitutional perspective, based on the right to interstate travel. However, that is not as clear as Kavanaugh puts it. The constitutional law of one state can criminalize activities of its citizens extraterritorially is very murky, and even if it was clear, nothing prevents a state from enacting such a regulation, which can definitely and on itself have a chilling effect on residents, and if challenged, may take years to get to the Supreme Court. So that's kind of the first thing to know from a legal perspective. From kind of a social perspective, the U.S. is now joining the ranks of countries that limit abortion in most circumstances, countries such as Brazil, Libya, Syria, Poland, and Iran. Evidence shows that restricting abortion access affects the procedure's quality, health, and safety, while imposing heavy burdens on pregnant people by requiring them to guarantee healthy birth outcomes. And let's be clear, Chris, Dobbs' decision won't end abortion. It will only end access to safe abortion. And we have seen this play out in many Latin American countries. Dobbs will only condemn women to choose between continuing with an unwanted pregnancy or putting their lives at risk, and they will likely face criminalization anytime a pregnancy ends. Pregnant people in the U.S. as of today will be at risk of persecution for all kinds of actions and omissions, even if they did not intend to end the pregnancy, based on the false assumption that they wanted the pregnancy to end. Examples of this abound, particularly in Central America, where total bans on abortions mean that women can end up in jail for miscarriages. For instance, in El Salvador, and this made the news a couple of years ago, a woman who suffered a miscarriage at 18 weeks was sentenced to a 40-year prison term. So the bottom line, Chris, is that this decision will force women, girls, and adolescents to resort to clandestine and unsafe abortion services. It will heavily limit their individual and autonomous decisions on matters related to their own health and lives. It will coerce women into assuming a reproductive and maternity role in society, and it will only perpetuate a model of family grounded on patriarchal preconceptions. This all will foster a general climate of fear and stigma, leading in some cases to harassment and sometimes violence against pregnant people who suffer an abortion.
Dr. Andres Constantine, who is the Assistant Director of Health Programs with the O'Neill Institute for National and Global Law Health Law at Georgetown University Law Center. O'Neill.law.georgetown.edu is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Would we have a different reaction to this ruling if the case was presented in, certainly science and technology is much different now versus 1973, if this case was approached by defining when measurable life begins as part of the case presented regarding the Mississippi Health Center, would we be seeing the same reaction today if that was the path that was taken versus the one that was taken?
I would say probably yes, based on this course composition. And I've studied this issue for a couple of years now, how the conservative legal movement have made all efforts to get to this this moment. And their only goal, to be honest, their only goal was to impose restrictions on abortion. They would have found the correct argument in either way. So probably to answer your question, yes. It has to do with a broader strategy of conservative legal movement and how they've been able to get these justices in the court.
When you look at the states, I know it's tough to communicate the visual, but verbally by saying that the states with the trigger bans, those 13 states, they're pretty much all grouped together for the most part. I read one study about a month or so ago where before this decision, the average traveling distance for a woman seeking abortion was around 35 to 40 miles. Now with this ruling by the Supreme Court sending all abortion policies back to the states, that's average travel distance for an abortion is going to approach 300 miles. That's quite restrictive, will it not be?
Very restrictive. We see that in Latin American countries, how restrictions in certain states or provinces led to travel for some women, and in some cases that have led to their death because of not being able to access essential health services adequately and timely.
Looking again at this socially, and maybe you can reference this with what happens in other countries, is this going to result in an increase in adoptions, because we're obviously going to see a decrease in abortions, and a lot of the pregnant women are honest enough to say it's not my time to be a mom, it's not my time to be a parent, I don't want to be something I can't be for this child. So will we see abortions now become a more viable, adoptions rather, become a more viable alternative?
Honestly, I don't think so. Based on empirical data we've seen in other countries, that doesn't really happen. Abortion, as I said, will continue happening. We will start seeing more cases of probably unsafe abortions, and that will lead to obstetric emergencies cases and different things. But the Dobbs decision won't end abortion. That will still happen, although that would happen on a clandestine or kind of unsafe environment in most cases, unfortunately. But adoption rates, at least from experience and from evidence we've seen in other countries, don't go up after these type of restrictions are imposed.
Well, as some people are saying that we're in uncharted territory, the truth, as Andres pointed out, is we have plenty of references in other countries as close to us as Mexico and Central America to provide insights and a look ahead to what just might be unfolding. as Roe v. Wade has indeed been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. It will vary from state to state. We're based in New Jersey. New Jersey has pretty much called itself now, through Governor Murphy's outlook on everything, as an abortion sanctuary state. A lot of other states will be taking a similar attitude, and other businesses. There will be businesses nationwide of all sizes who will pony up money so that women can take on the travel and other expenses when they choose to get an abortion. It's going to be interesting to watch and see what unfolds, how fast it does unfold, but unfolding, it is going to start sooner versus later. Learn more about the O'Neill Institute for National and Global Health Law, which is at Georgetown University Law Center, o'neill.law.georgetown.edu. We've been joined by their assistant director, Andres Constantine. Thank you so much for a very insightful, very different outlook versus what so many others have been focusing on with this matter. And thank you as well for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.